OK， 好 ，OK， we can get ready for question.
So today is the 58th lesson, of the six patriot platform sutta, and it's on the 7th October 2017 at Wuping Chingsa. So let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, the virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Si Jiha Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Si Jiha Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Si Jiha Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa.อารหังสัมมาสัมพุทโธภะคะวะบุตังภะคะวันตังอภิวาเทมิสวากาโตภะคะวะตะธัมโมธัมมังนะมัสสามิสุปัฏฐิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามิณโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะNamo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchamiสังฆังสารนังกัจฉามิตุติยัมปิบุตตังสารนังกัจฉามิตุติยัมปิธัมมังสารนังกัจฉามิตุติยัมปิสังฆังสารนังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิบุตตังสารนังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิธัมมังสารนังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิสังฆังสารนังกัจฉามิปาณาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาระเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยมัจจาปมาทัฏฐานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุ Let us pay respect to Triple Gem, Buddhang Pajemi Dhammang Pajemiสังฆังปุเจมิโอเค you can be seated relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention then we can commence our sutta class okay
Before we start, we shall chant the opening verse. Turn to page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay. Then we turn to page 284. 284, yes. Four is a new chapter. It's about the bhikshu. How you pronounce it? Zitong, or what? What is the Mandarin word? Zitong. Bhikshu Zitong. A native of Anfeng in Shaozhou, had read the Lankavatara Sutta over 1,000 times, but still did not understand the three bodies and the four wisdom. He made obeisance to the master, seeking an explanation of the meaning. The master said the three bodies are the clear body, pure Dhamma body, which is your nature, the perfect, full reward body, which is your spiritual nature or wisdom, and the hundreds of thousands of mind-right transformation body, which are your conduct. Here they use the word conduct, but this one it means your this they call it the nimana kaya, the functional body that perform the function of every segment of your life. So they put here the hundred thousands of mind-right transformation body. So this refer to your segmented body. Every life you come, you have a segmented body, or they call it a transformation body. You transform into the various birth due to your karma, that's why, which are your conduct. To speak of the three bodies as separate from your original nature is to have the bodies but not the wisdom. To remember that the three bodies have no self-nature is to understand the four wisdom of Bohi. Listen to my verse. So this is Huineng's expression of the wisdom or the understanding to this bhikkhu. Three bodies complete in your own self nature, when understood, become the four wisdom. While not apart from seeing and hearing, transcend them and ascend to the Buddha realm. I will now explain it to you, or for you. If you are attentive and faithful, you will never be deluded. So this word is very important. If you are attentive. Attentive means what? When you are attentive means you pay attention. Pay attention means you are without thought. That is mindfulness. That is awareness. That's why the moment you are attentive, you are without thought. So you are already mindful. And faithful is what? Faithful is sadha. Your faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So like I always said, you need to have faith, then you need to be sincere, then you just persevere, then the Dhamma door will unfold, the path to Dhamma will be realized. So this is very, very important. So attentiveness is very important. You have to pay attention. When you are attentive, means you are sincere, you are mindful. Okay, then we continue. Don't run outside in search of them. Means be aware within. By saying Bohi to the end,
of your days. So those who do not know how to cultivate, they will seek outside. They will run outside in search of them. Then the bhikkhu Jitong asks further, "May I hear about the meaning of the four wisdom?" The master said, "Since you understand the three bodies, you should also understand the four wisdom. Why do you ask again?" To speak of the four wisdom as separate from the three body is to have the wisdom but not the bodies, in which case the wisdom become non-wisdom. He then spoke this verse: "The wisdom of the great perfect mirror is your clear pure nature. The wisdom of equal nature is the mind without disease." Wonderfully observing wisdom is seeing without effort. Perfecting wisdom is the same as the perfect mirror. 5867. Effect and cause both turn. Merely useful names. They are without real nature. If in the place of turning, emotion is not kept, you always and forever dwell in Naga concentration. So this is the Sutta part. Then we go on to the commentaries by Xuan Hua. So according to Master Xuan Hua, the commentary, turn to next page, page 286. Bhikshu Zitong studied the Lankavatara Sutta because Bodhidharma recommended it above all other sutta for the Zen school. Although he had read it 1,000 times, he still had to ask the master about the three bodies and the four wisdom. The master always teaches Dhamma of and from self-nature. The clear, pure Dhamma body is your original nature. So that is the first type of body, he said. And the reward body is your wisdom, means spiritual nature. Then the transformation body are your conduct. So transformation body, you know, this one, it means the segmented life you come. They call it the functional body, Nimanakaya, the perform the function of who you are every life when you come. But that by aggregate of form and mind, which is the functional body or transformation body, is not permanent. That's why it's impermanent, lead to suffering. Because it is impermanent, it cannot be you. That's why it's non-self. And the reason why it's impermanent is because it is condition arising, dependent originating. Hence the reason why it's empty, not real, not what you think. The transformation body are your conduct, because you are what you are. See? Born of your karma, head to your karma, condition supported by your karma. You are transformed according to what you practice, or how you live your life. If you try to explain the three bodies as something apart from your self nature, you have the body but not the wisdom. But when you understand that the three bodies are devoid of self nature, you possess the four wisdom of Bodhi. When you understand that the three bodies are immanent in the self nature, you realize the four wisdom without being separated from the condition of seeing and hearing. You ascend directly to the Buddha realm. "Now I have spoke this verse," the sixth patriarch said, "and you must truly believe it. Then you will never again be confused like those people who go around saying Bohi, Bohi, Bohi all day long, but who never practice or understand Bohi. Don't chatter." Head mouth means total chana. Zen. The head mouth Zen. You must truly understand the three bodies for it to count. The master continued, since you understand the three bodies, you should understand the four wisdom as well. If you try to explain the four wisdom as something apart from the three bodies, then although you see the name, you know the name, the four wisdom, you do not possess the actual substance or the understanding of their function. Your wisdom, hence, are not wisdom. The Buddha has four wisdom. The wisdom of the great perfect mirror is the eight consciousness, alaya vijnana, when it has been transformed from consciousness into wisdom. Then the eight consciousness is also called the storehouse consciousness, where it stores up all the good and bad seeds you have planted in the past, all the good and bad things you have done in this and past life. If you have planted good causes, you reap good effect. If you have planted bad causes, you reap bad effect. As the potential of all good and bad karma is stored in the eight consciousness, it also comes to be called the field of the eight consciousness, because whatever you plant in, it eventually sprout, means it will come to fruition. When you are unable to use it, it is merely consciousness. But when you return to the root and go back to the source, the eight consciousness is transmuted into the great perfect mirror wisdom, which in its essence is pure and undefiled. The wisdom of equal nature is the seventh consciousness. When it has been transformed from consciousness into wisdom, but you understand it is the seventh consciousness. But once you are enlightened, it is the wisdom of equal nature. The seventh consciousness is also called the transmitting consciousness, because it acts as a transmitter between the sixth and the eighth consciousness. It is called the wisdom of equal nature, because the mind of all Buddhas and living beings are equal. When the latest consciousness has been transformed into wisdom, the wisdom without disease means that there is no obstruction, no jealousy, no greed, no hatred, and no stupidity, means the evil roots are not there. Without this defilement, the seventh consciousness is transmuted into the wisdom of equal nature. The wonderful observing wisdom is the sixth consciousness. When it has been transformed into wisdom, it is the wisdom of the subtle observation, the sixth consciousness. What we think of as the ordinary mind is the consciousness of discrimination. It discriminates good and evil, right and wrong, male and female. Such discrimination is not actually the work of intelligence, as it seems to be, but it's merely a kind of consciousness. When you turn it into wisdom, it becomes wonderfully observing wisdom, which sees all rhymes without having to go through the process of discrimination. This wonderful observation is quite different from mere discriminative thought. When certified arahats wish to use the wonderful observing wisdom to know something, they must first sit quietly in meditation and intentionally observe. For unless they intentionally observe, their minds are no different from those of ordinary people. By intentionally observing, they can know the events of the past 80,000 eons. Perfecting wisdom comes from the transformation of the first five consciousness: eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body into wisdom. 5, 8, 6, 7 effect and cause both turn. The the five consciousness and the eight consciousness are transformed into the period of ripping effect, and the six and seven are transformed in the period of planting causes. In the transformation of consciousness into the four wisdom, first turn the six and seven in the period of planting cause, and next the eight and five in the period of reaping effect. Merely using name, they are without real nature, although they are said to be changed in the realm of cause and effect. There is nothing in reality which caused them to. They are merely names and nothing more. If in the place of turning, emotion is a cap, if in the place where your emotional feelings have been turned, you do not use your common mind and become caught up in the turning, you also and forever dwell in Naga concentration. At all times you are in a Naga Samadhi. Naga means dragon. Dragon can magically appear in big or small bodies because they have a great deal of concentration. As Fahai tells us in his introduction to the Sutta, the sixth patriarch defeated a dragon by saying, "You are really a magic dragon. You should be able to appear in the small body as well as a large one." Then when the dragon turned up in a small body, the master dared him to climb into his bowl. As the little dragon had a bigger temple and much ignorance, he jumped at the dare. And when he tried to jump out again, he couldn't do it. The master explained the Dhamma to the dragon, and the dragon then went to rebirth. The dragon may have been constantly in Samadhi, but he had not destroyed his ignorance and therefore lost his temple. "I will show you," he said. "I will change my body into a little one right now." If he had really been in Samadhi, he would have said, "You say I can appear in a small body? Okay, so what? I will just appear in this large body." But he lost his concentration and was turned, caught and defeated by the great master. Still, Naga Samadhi is an inconceivable state. How do dragons get to be dragons? They study the Buddha Dhamma with mighty effort, morning to night, but they do not keep the precepts. Precepts are for common people, they say. "I am extraordinary. I am not in the same category as they are, and I do not have to keep precepts." That's how they turn into dragon. So these are the commentaries by Xuan Hua. It's quite good. He has the understanding. And now we should try to develop some form of understanding of the three bodies. These three bodies are easy to understand, but the deep meaning is not easy. Anyway, I will go through it one more time. Then hopefully, maybe you all can develop the understanding. Before that, do you all have any question? Anybody got any question? Don't have. Okay, we go into these three bodies. The first body, we go the other way, the other way. They call it a transformation body, or what we call it the Nimanakaya, the functional body. Oh. functional body. Or what we call the segmented life body. Segmented life body. So this one, every life you come, you can have a different body depending on your karmic rebirth. Yeah. Then this is also what we call the karmically conditioned form of mind. Condition form and mind. So this karmically conditioned form and mind is your five aggregates of form and mind. This five aggregate is the one that delude living being. The transformation body that come, if the living being do not have the understanding, they will grasp onto this. And that is what sakyadity is all about, self-delusion. If you grasp onto this, you become trapped. Then suffering can arise. Yeah. Then you are trapped within the conditioned world. Then the phenomenal world is like full of meaning. Yeah. Then you believe you are real. You believe this is what you are. Yeah. Then the second body, this one is your spiritual body, Sambhogayakaya. Spiritual body. For you to have this, you have to perfect your wisdom. So this is your perfection of wisdom body. Spiritual or Sambhogayakaya is your perfection of wisdom body. Perfection of wisdom, or your spiritual nature. So spiritual nature. Two aeons and aeons above and there, like Sakyamuni Buddhas and all the great beings, they had to cultivate using the first body. To perfect their 10 perfection, their virtue, take the bodhisattva vows and all those things. Then after they have perfect their wisdom, this is their prajnaparamita perfection, means perfection of wisdom. Once that one is perfected together with the other perfection, the 10 perfection, then the third body will arise. So this one is the Sambhogayakaya. Then the third body is what they call the fully perfected body, or what they call the self nature. Then sometimes because it used this one to teach the Dhamma, so they call it the Dhammakaya. Samakaya. Huh? So this one is the Dhamma body that teaches the Dhamma. Yeah. But this is also called the self nature. Because by the time, for the Sammasambuddha, before he came in his last life as Sakyamuni or as Siddhartha Gautama, he already had this perfection of his spiritual nature already completed. That's the reason why when he came, he can straight away have these three bodies simultaneously developed. So, first, second, and third. So underneath the Bodhi tree, the Sambhogayakaya, the spiritual nature, this one he inherited, come back to the form of mind. So when this Nimanakaya, the functional body, combined with this perfection of wisdom body, it can teach the Dhamma. That's why these two, when combined, it triggers the Dhammakaya to teach the Dhamma. And this one can teach the Dhamma because this five aggregate of form and mind, the Nimanakaya at that time, this one, the five aggregate of form and mind, this one is connected to the spiritual nature. Spiritual nature or self nature. Spiritual or self nature. Yeah. That's why this third body, sometimes they call it the self nature, or your original nature, or your true nature. So it's from there everything arises. That's why Hui Ning, when he received the Diamond Sutra teaching from the fifth patriarch, you remember what he mentioned? When the fifth patriarch come to the path, he said, you have to develop the ability to use this mind, means the mundane mind, means that Nimanakaya mind, and yet not to be deluded by it and deceived by it. Then Hui Ning straight away came to great awakening because he realized the self nature is so beautiful. That's why he mentioned that in the aftermath of that awakening, he said, how wonderful indeed is this self nature. Who will ever expect, he said, that the self nature is complete by itself? The self nature, neither all those things that is mentioned in the Heart Sutta, is all true. Means even though this self nature is so beautiful, complete by itself, everything, but nothing is apart from that self nature. Who will ever knew that all Dhamma is never apart from that self nature? And that self nature don't need anything else. It's complete by itself. So this self nature can only be realized by the five aggregate of form and mind that is connected to it. So this one, before you become a Sammasambuddha, this one is just what they call wisdom. That's why I always said, you're this connected to the wisdom. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind, when connected to the wisdom, you are no longer deluded. So this one can make the five aggregate of form and mind enlightened. But this is not you. You have to understand. This five aggregate of form and mind, you can say is enlightened because of this wisdom. But it's no longer deluded. But this is not you. So this one is anatta. The only difference is, once you are connected to your self nature, this one becomes the Buddha. This one trigger off Buddhahood. Then you can say, this five aggregate of form and mind is the Buddha. Clear? Can follow? How come so clear? Pass the mic over. Whoever wants to clarify, you better do so. While I have a drink.
Hello, good afternoon, Brother. No doubt I've heard this a few times, still trying to digest it. So can I say that the first body is what we have now?
Yeah, okay. The functional body, that karmically conditioned form and mind. Like this life, you are PG. Okay, this form and mind. This is your functional body that come to this world to perform the function of your nature. Understand? This is the karmically conditioned five aggregate of form and mind for you to come. Your vehicle and your tool. You understand? But this is not you, because this is condition arising. So, because of the law of karma, you remember?
Yeah.
This law of karma, there are three conditions behind. So, these three conditions, you know, what are they? For its arising.
Our karma.
Arising. So first you have your physical body. You have your mind. Consciousness which is trapped inside. Then you got your karmic force. Your life force or your karmic force that sustain it. That's why you continue to exist. But these are the three conditions that support the arising of this five aggregate of form and mind. So this is the one that bring forth this five aggregate of form and mind. But this one, because it's condition arising, is not permanent. That's why I say it's not you. You understand?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Then you go on.
Okay. Then after that, with this Nimanakaya, so that means we have to cultivate until we connect, and then you have the spiritual body.
Yeah, your spiritual body you need to cultivate. If you do not cultivate, then what happens is, if you do not cultivate, what happens is, this one is not connected. Understand? You understand? If it's not connected, means you are a normal Putujana. You know what is a normal Putujana? A normal unenlightened being.
A heedless person who is still
not
life,
awake. You are still trapped in your own form and mind, heedlessly existing through life. You are not conscious of you are conscious of life, but you are not aware within, and you don't have the understanding of who you are, what you are. That's why you are caught in this form body, the Nimanakaya. When you are trapped here, there is no chance for you to develop understanding and wisdom. Even in the past, if you have cultivated, developed some form of wisdom or spiritual cultivation, but as long as this life, this form and mind don't know how to meditate and connect back, you cannot inherit. This Nimanakaya cannot come to you. That's why you must learn to meditate, to silence your mind, so that this silent mind, which is of the true nature as the true mind, can connect. The moment it connects, you can start to cultivate whatever wisdom you need to cultivate. Then if you have cultivated before in the past, you will start to inherit them. So this is a two-way traffic. You understand? Before you connect, one-way traffic. You cannot come, you cannot go. That's why the cross is there. Means like no entry sign. But the moment you cultivate, develop the silent mind, and you connect, then there is the beginning of inheritance of the spiritual nature. The beginning of the true mind having the ability to understand truth. And that's how this spiritual nature or the wisdom that you develop through the direct see helps the form and mind to understand things. Then you will reach a phase where you can become awakened because of this understanding from the true mind. That is what Hui Ning's teaching is all about. The first essence is to realize no thought, the silent mind. That's why when we were at the recent spiritual trip, the Dhamma that was written on the pillar is very beautiful. Wu Nian, Wu Xiang, Wu Zhu. These are the three phases of cultivation that Hui Ning, through his understanding, developed. That's why he takes you direct to the true mind. So when you go direct to the true mind, you can connect and inherit whatever spiritual cultivation or perfection you have developed. Then from there, you will continue your cultivation. But let's say, the worst case scenario is, first time you connect, because you have not connected before, there is no spiritual nature developed, then you have to start from square one. Means, start to develop this wisdom and perfect this slowly, slowly, slowly. Then this one will have the ability to develop understanding. Yeah. And when this one develop understanding, most people only connect the first to the second body. You cannot connect to the third body unless you are a very, very well cultivated being. Only the great beings, the Bodhisattva, the very advanced Bodhisattva, together with Sama Sambuddha, those who have completed their training, they have this ability to come together with the third body. So all these three together, this one become very different. This one can teach the Dhamma, can share the Dhamma, can give rise to a lot of understanding. Even at this stage, the first two combined, later on when it stabilized, some of these beings can also teach the Dhamma. But they are not the great beings. They are not Sama Sambuddha. They may not understand the full cultivation. But basic essential Dhamma to free your mind, to liberate your mind from samsara, from birth and death, to endure and severe all suffering they have. They can develop it, and they can share it with people and teach them. Okay? So, is it clearer now? Ah, good, sadhu. Huh? Okay, we read on then. Just now, Xuan Hua explained the dragon samadhi. That one is energy field. That one is concentration, condition state, without the wisdom. The anusaya, or the latent tendency, defilement, they are all still suppressed. They are not rooted out yet. So that's how it seems there is a legend. It must be the... You all have seen the the Chinese classic Bai Se Chuan. In that show, there is a monk called Fa Hai. Name here. This is how Fa Hai managed to trap that dragon. Because the dragon got a lot of psychic power. He can move the ocean, the wave, and all those things, and cause a lot of flooding. But in that legend, the Bai Se Chuan is different, because that one is a lady who fall in love with a earthly man. Then she doesn't mean any harm, but she doesn't know that according to the human rhyme, and there's an agreement with the heavenly rhyme, that the human and the naga, you cannot get married. It seems it will give rise to a lot of disaster and all those things. So in that show, that monk, Fa Hai, was trying to prevent that thing from happening. But the lady who was the white snake dragon, Paisa, she didn't understand. So she used her whatever psychic to actually insist on all those things. Then finally she was defeated. But somehow the story ends well. The husband was able to go all the way to help this dragon to, I think, develop some merits and able to get her to be released from that thing. But she suffered a lot. Anyway, all this, they are legend. Legend is still legend, so don't have to understand much of it. So just have an understanding that these are all psychic. Okay, we go on to page 289. The sutta part. The transformation of consciousness into wisdom has been described. The teaching say the first five consciousness turn become the perfecting wisdom. The sixth consciousness turn become wonderful observing wisdom. And the seventh consciousness turn become the wisdom of equal nature. Then the eighth consciousness turn become the wisdom of the great perfect mirror. So this is what Mahayana, or I should say the traditional teaching of Mahayana, they define the four kinds of wisdom based on consciousness, transformation of consciousness. If you actually understand, wisdom is just wisdom. Do you understand? This one is easy to follow, isn't it? Wisdom is just wisdom, isn't it? But here he says the four types of wisdom means it is trying to explain to you in more like systematic way of how this wisdom get developed until the final one. The final one is called the perfection. The eight consciousness turn and become wisdom of the great perfect mirror. So this one is referred to the self nature, the complete wisdom. Whereas the other one at the seven consciousness is just the wonderful. They call it the seven consciousness turn and become the wisdom of, equal nature. Wonderful is the sixth consciousness. Then the first five consciousness turn and become the perfecting wisdom. So these are the stages of understanding as you turn and transform the consciousness. Then the one that is described in the Theravada Sutta, that one is go by turning. First turning, second turning, and third turning. Means first turning is wisdom born of hearing the sutta. That's why it's called Sutamaya Panya. So nowadays, maybe no need to listen or hear. You can even read about it. read through books and other things. So the first turning wisdom is, they call it Sutamaya Panya, means wisdom born of either hearing or reading the sutta. You have to add in the word reading. Last time, no words, no writing. That's why there is no reading, it's only hearing. And they call this Sanvan, hearing of the sutta. That's why the Savaka are the sound hearer who hear the Four Noble Truths and awaken to the truth. So this is the first turning wisdom. They call it Sutamaya Panya. Then the second turning is, if you reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into it, then you develop the stability of the understanding. Then you can have a clear mind, to assimilate all of the Dhamma or the truth that you have heard or learned. Then you stabilize it. The second stage, the second turning, wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, or an inquiry, is called Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the sutta or the truth that the Buddha has proclaimed or taught. Then the third turning is, of course, Bhavanamaya Panya, means Panya or wisdom born of bhavana, meditative training or discipline. So this is the Theravada way of explaining the three types of wisdom. I find the Mahayana one more towards the academic side, not so important. Whereas the Theravada one, the three types of wisdom, is more related to real life, more functional. But it doesn't mean that they are no good or good. Nothing to do with good or no good. It's how you relate it to life so that you can develop the understanding. Then, like I say, wisdom is wisdom. Do you understand? There is no division. Wisdom is understanding. That's it. You have means you have. Whether it's first turning, second turning, or third turning, it's still a wisdom. Then whether it's the what they call the four type of wisdom, classified as turning the first five consciousness, the later on the sixth consciousness, then the seventh consciousness, then the eighth consciousness, which you define as the four type of wisdom, is entirely up to the individual, how you want to define it. Can follow? You can follow, very good. Because the whiteboard is full already. I also don't know where to share with you all the fifth consciousness. Anyway, I will go through quickly. Page 289, I will go through this part again, Sutta part. The transformation of consciousness into wisdom has been described. So now you listen. There are four types of wisdom. So four types of transformation of consciousness. So what is the first type? The teaching says the first five consciousness turn become the perfect wisdom. What are the first five consciousness? Yeah, use the mic. Where is the mic? I'll pass to Miss Lee.
The aggregate consciousness.
Oh, no. The first five are not the aggregate consciousness. Aggregate, within the five aggregate, there is only one aggregate, which is the consciousness. This refer to the type of consciousness, the first five. You give to Padmasuri, maybe she will understand. Yeah.
I think it's eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tactile consciousness.
Correct, yeah.
And this is the mind consciousness.
That one they don't include. Very good. Okay. The first five refer to your five senses. Do you understand? The five physical senses. We have the eye, who can give rise to eye seeing consciousness of the eye. Then hearing consciousness of the ear, then smell consciousness of the nose, then taste consciousness of the tongue, then tactile consciousness of the body. All these five need the mind to make contact. So like the physics experiment, listen again. Upon contact, what happened? The light bulb lights up. So it's like consciousness. At the moment of contact, the energy which is from the consciousness of the mind trigger of the seeing consciousness, the hearing consciousness, the smell, the taste, the tactile. But later on, they come to know in the meditation that there is a thought consciousness. A thought consciousness. The mind is also an organ, understand not? So when you make contact with the eye, what happened? Sorry, with the mind, what happened? When you make contact with the mind, and the mind is an organ, what happened? When mind make contact with the eye as an organ, the light bulb light up, isn't it? What is that? That is the seeing consciousness, isn't it? So if the organ is the mind now, if the mind make contact, means you go and think, what happened? Pass to PG, the mind.
It becomes thoughts, isn't it?
Thought consciousness. Correct, good. Of course, you can say it becomes thought, but it's not so clear. Means thought consciousness, like the light bulb light up, understand not? The organ now is the mind. So the mind, upon contact through your whatever thinking, the moment you think, the mind make contact. So, avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya viññāṇaṁ. That's how it happened. Dependent on ignorance, where you don't understand, what do? You think, isn't it? When you think, means you make contact with the mind, understand not? Then when you make contact with the mind, mind consciousness arise. That's why avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya viññāṇaṁ. Viññāṇaṁ is mental consciousness before the content go in. Then after that, viññāṇaṁ paccaya, the next link is what? Nama rupaṁ. What is that? The five aggregate of form and mind. That is when the content of consciousness went in. That's why dependent on nama rupaṁ arises the six sense bases. There must be six sense bases for the five aggregate of form and mind to arise. That's how the form and mind come to be. So these first five consciousness turn and become the first type of wisdom, which they call perfect wisdom. So now it's very easy to follow. If you don't have wisdom and understanding, how can you turn this first five consciousness? It's impossible, isn't it? Because the moment you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel something, without wisdom, what happened to you? You will stir your mind, isn't it? You will grasp, cling, and react, isn't it? That's how you create suffering through attachment, through self-delusion. Where you believe this five form and mind is you. Then there is a personality, an egoic mind, the I and the me. And what happened after that? Because when you believe this is you, you become what? When you believe this is real, this is you, means that ego will create what? Selfishness. That's how the evil root come to be. You become selfish. You have desire. You become greedy. You have craving, covetousness. You have attachment. You will grasp onto things, believing that you can own them and have them. That's how the evil root arise. Then it can have emotional negativity. That's why it can get angry, unhappy, envy, jealousy, unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation. All this will arise.
then because it has delusion, it don't understand, it will have fear, worry, anxiety. All these are the evil roots, the negativity of mind state. So without wisdom and understanding, the direct seeing, the awakening, you cannot turn the first five consciousness. Do you understand? Yeah? That's why, as long as you don't connect to the second body, you can never cultivate the Dhamma. There is no meditation at all. What you do are thought-based meditation, leading to delusion. You cannot awaken, you cannot liberate, you cannot free, where you don't have the ability to be heedful or mindful. To be heedful, to be mindful, is the first criteria that the Buddha mentioned in the teaching. Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha said very clearly, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you are not heedful, if you are heedless, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, you don't stand a chance. And what is heedfulness? Not only mindful, ever mindful. Plus, constantly meditative. Means ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path or the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So what you need is to develop sati, then stabilize it. That's why you go thought-based meditation, you go and focus, concentrate, note, and do all this verbalizing, you can never develop the meditation. You can never come near to the mind, the true mind, that is without thought. If you cannot stabilize that mind, you cannot touch your nature. You cannot even have chance to develop the direct seeing, where the silent mind is not there, sati is not there. If the first enlightenment factor is not there, how can you investigate Dhamma? How can you become heedful? That's why all this can never come about. Meditation will not happen. So this is the true understanding of meditation. When you understand this, you will never go after thought-based meditation anymore. Well, it will lead you nowhere. It will lead you to experience maybe good concentration. Good, what they call, mind state that is due to samatha, or concentration of mind, a conditioned state. And these are all focusing, concentrating, noting, and a lot of doing by the thought. Whereas the true meditation is just aware, silent. Through the awareness, it understands, it awakens. And when the awareness becomes stable, it can connect to your true mind, the true nature. Because you must have the same quality of mind to connect. Otherwise, when thought is active, the mundane mind is active, you cannot realize the true mind. The true mind will be there the moment you are without thought. That's why awareness is... mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. The moment you are aware without thought, you already in sati. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be like all those people try to be mindful, cultivate mindfulness. Where got such thing as learn how to be mindful? Who is learning? The thought is learning. As long as the thought is active, it can never be mindful. It's just like who is meditating. If the thought is actively trying to meditate, do the noting, verbalizing, concentrating, and all those things, that thought becomes active. If thought is active, how can you be mindful? That's why the silent mind cannot come about. The real meditation cannot take off. So it's as simple as that. So when you understand this, you will realize the beauty of Huineng's teaching. He said the first essence of true meditation is to realize this state of no thought. If you can be in a free mind state without thought, that is pointing direct to the true mind. That's why he's teaching his meditation. He don't want you to waste time on thought-based meditation. He take you direct to the true mind. Wu nian. Without thought, you're already aware. Why do you want to practice mindfulness and awareness? You just have to relax and silent. That's it. Finish. Then the meditation will take off. And the true meditation is just relax, aware, silent. Don't try to know. The mindfulness, the silent, will understand. And when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Sati and samadhi will allow you to have the clarity of mind to see things as they are, to awaken to the truth, the characteristics of nature. That's why the phenomenal world, the conditioned arising world, the world of consciousness, they are all mind-make. Mind-make are they. And their universal characteristic is there. Every moment, every instant, in the midst of life and nature, why can't you see? You can't see because you are not silent. When you are silent without movement, then nature is aware and it will awaken. It will realize. It will penetrate. It will insight into phenomena. And it will have that understanding. So when the understanding is there, it will know this form and mind is not real. Condition arising, dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence, Sakaya Ditti gone. When Sakaya Ditti is gone, there is no more personality inside there to be selfish, to be angry, emotional, to be deluded. Everything becomes clear. Then through that understanding, it will know the first body, the Nimanakaya, the functional body, is not you, not real. But it's karmically conditioned for you to come to this world. So you use it to cultivate, to live life, to understand, to develop all those things that you need to develop. And this is what the teaching is all about. But this type of understanding is long gone. Very few people have that understanding. You read all the so-called Dhamma book, even Theravada Dhamma book, and they never explain all this to you. They give you a lot of Dhamma, a lot of Dhamma. Yeah. So by now, you should have a clearer picture of what this cultivation is all about, so that you will not be deluded by all this so-called gullible, what they call, Dhamma expression anymore. Yeah. When you understand this, you will progress very fast. You will break free very fast. And the most difficult is sakadity, self-delusion. And that one, you really have to develop the silent mind to become heedful, then to awaken, to insight into phenomena. Without that ability, it's very difficult to have the silent mind develop, stabilize, and connect to the true mind. The moment the mind becomes silent, aware, it is very near the true mind. Then when you can stabilize that, it will locate. It will locate the silent mind on its own. Then it will know how to use that silent mind to meditate. Then later on, as you progress, as you develop clearer and clearer understanding and wisdom, the form and mind will understand clearly what this is all about. Then finally, when there is condition for you to move further, you may locate the gateway and all those things. But this era, the sasana of Sakyamuni, is very unique. It's very easy to develop all this understanding. Okay? Then we read on so that you can develop the understanding. So the first wisdom I already explained, you need to have wisdom to turn the first five consciousness, so that they become the consciousness of an enlightened being. That's why they say the first five consciousness turn and become the perfect wisdom. Then the second type of wisdom is the sixth consciousness turn and become the wonderful observing wisdom. You know what is the sixth consciousness? What is the sixth consciousness? Yeah, the sixth consciousness is the mind consciousness, correct. But in the teaching, the Mahayana actually used the word 第六色, sixth consciousness. But it's exactly the same as the Theravada teaching. The Theravada teaching of the five aggregate actually is the same. The only difference is the Mahayana expanded on it. So I hope I got space. Sanya is perception. Then Sankara is content of consciousness or activity of mind. Content of consciousness. Content of consciousness, or activity of mind. Then, after that is, there is another feeling, sanya, sankara, vijnana. So this is consciousness. What the Mahayana did is, they say this is the seventh consciousness. Sixth consciousness. This is the sixth consciousness. This is the seventh consciousness. Then this is the eighth consciousness. Or they call it the Alaya consciousness. It's actually no different. So he said, the sixth consciousness is actually your mind consciousness. The sixth sensor. All of the senses, they need mind. Without mind as a common denominator, consciousness cannot arise. So the sixth consciousness is actually the perception. The moment you perceive, what happened? You perceive through what? use the mind. You all have to try to answer. Otherwise, you will not get the understanding.
Perceive through contact senses or all the five senses.
No. You perceive is a perception. Understand? So, how did you perceive? Let's say the Buddha Rubang at the back there.
I.
Through your seeing consciousness.
Content, yeah.
Okay. But how does that perception comes about? No. Through what? How do you know it's
memory.
Buddha Rubang? Memory. So perception, you're off the thing. The perception comes from memory. So memory is what you use because you have learned. You have been taught, conditioned. So when you see something, you need memory to tell you what that thing is. That's why that is a conditioned mind. Conditional perception. Means dependent on memory, you perceive. And the problem with memory is, you also carry with you the views and the opinion. True or not? Your conditioning. So what do? After you perceive, you will create discrimination. Understand or not? That's why they say the sixth consciousness is the discrimination consciousness. But if you turn that consciousness into wisdom, then it will not discriminate. You're only the deluded one discriminate. Thing is just the way it is. no right, no wrong. When you see things as they are, it's just that thing. And the pure awareness is without the word, without the concept, without the memory. That's why that is the direct seeing. So to turn that, you need to have wisdom. You need to have stability of understanding. You must have that state of mind that can do that. That's why they call that a type of wisdom. So this is the one that is explained. The six consciousness turn and become wonderful observing wisdom. Why is it called wonderful observing wisdom? Because that pure awareness can have pure perception, the direct seeing. And that seeing is wonderful, understand? Wonderful observing wisdom. That's why there are three types of seeing. Yeah? Initially, the mountain. Kan san, si san. That is mundane seeing. The first level of seeing. Means without wisdom. Then, kan san, bu si san. Because you use the direct seeing. No words, no concept. This is the wonderful seeing. Understand now? There is no, not real. It's not what the memory label, mountain and all those things. But when you look at this microphone or you listen to my voice, the moment you perceive it through memory, you are not listening at all or you are not observing at all. Well, you are observing that microphone as a concept. You are not seeing directly what this thing is. The pure awareness. The pure perception without the words, the concept. That is what meditation is all about. Later on, it will reach this level of wonderful observing wisdom. You understand? Initially, not easy, huh? But don't worry. Just don't try to know, do. Then one day, when the mind awakens, it will understand. Because you need the mundane mind, the first body, Nimanakaya, functional body, to cultivate, to develop the wisdom. That's why you have to go through all this. Then this mind will transform, the mundane mind will transform. From the thinking, heedless, deluded mind, it will become heedful, aware. And when you straighten your view more and more, avijja become less. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara become less, thinking become less. This is how you progress. As thinking become less, you become more aware. Then finally, hardly any thought. That is how you realize the true mind, the silent mind. That's how meditation come about. Then when you are no longer deluded with the wrong view, then you can see things as they are. You can awaken, you can understand what is written in the sutta. Well, these sutta are spoken by enlightened being. It's for enlightened being. That's why it's not easy before the form of mind awaken. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Then we go on. Huh? Then the next type of wisdom is what? The seven consciousness turn and become the wisdom of equal nature. Yeah. So what happened is, earlier on, Xianhua did explain, he said, 5, 8, 6, 7 effect and cause both to turn. The five consciousness and the eight consciousness are transformed in the period of reaping effect, and the six and the seven are transformed in the period of planting causes. So this one you will understand. In transforming the consciousness into the four wisdom, first, turn the 6 and 7 in the period of planting cause, and next the 8 and 5 in the period of reaping effect. Merely useful names, they are without real nature, although they are said to be changed in the realm of cause and effect. There is nothing in reality which corresponds to them. They are merely names and without and nothing more. In the place of turning, emotion isn't kept. If in the place where your emotional feelings are being turned, you do not use your common mind and become caught up in the turning. So this is how they explain in the sutta. Now, then the other one that you have to understand is the earlier part. Eh? Okay, you turn back to page 287. Eh? The second paragraph. Yeah. Or maybe you go back further. Huh? Go back further. Page 286. Huh? From here, I explain maybe easier for you to understand. Second last paragraph. Huh? The master continued. Since you understand the three body, like I explained just now, huh? Which the sutta didn't explain that clearly, huh? You should understand the four wisdom as well. If you try to explain the four wisdom as something apart from the three body, then although you know the name, four wisdom, you do not possess actual substance or know their function. Your wisdom are non-wisdom. Can you understand this paragraph? Yeah? Can you understand this paragraph? He said, if you cannot understand how these three body come about, you only quote the four wisdom, no use. You can read according to the text. The first five consciousness turn or transform and become the first type of wisdom. Then the sixth consciousness turn and become the next type of wisdom. Then the seventh consciousness, the eighth consciousness, so the fourth type of wisdom. But if you don't know how they come about through the three body, you don't have the wisdom. You are wasting your time. Do you understand? And how does they come about? They come about because of this five aggregate of form and mind. The first body need to cultivate this. The first body got the five senses. That's like the first type of five consciousness. You need to have the direct seeing to turn it and not to be deluded by it. Then you understand, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. That is the first level of wisdom in the Mahayana. Understand? You must, in the meditation, realize that. It's just like the light bulb light up. It's nature's law, isn't it? Upon contact, the light bulb light up, isn't it? So your consciousness is the same. When you are silent in the meditation, you will realize that. Every moment of consciousness is just before the knowing, before the atta come in, before the concept and all those delusions come in. It's just the consciousness. The mind becomes conscious. So it's just the seeing consciousness, the hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile and thought. Then the next moment, the input of content of consciousness created the delusion, the discrimination and all this, what they call avijja, ignorant. That's how your mind still react and become afflicted. But if you have developed the wisdom through the meditation to understand that there is no one to see, self-delusion no more, sakkayaditti no more, then all this is gone. Then it's no more knowledge, understand? Now? It's the understanding, you saw it. There is no one to see. Then why you still associate the seeing? Why you still say, I see? Then you can get angry with what you see. Or you can get attracted by what you see. This is how sensual desire and ill will or anger arise. And these are mental hindrance. Hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. You can follow? So that's why you have to link it back to the three type of body and how they perfect it. If you don't know this, you cannot understand the four type of wisdom based on the description in the sutta by the Mahayana great master or Zen master. Yeah. Then the next paragraph. Okay, we go on. Eh? The Buddha has four wisdom, he said. The wisdom of the great, perfect mirror. And this is the eight consciousness. when it has been transformed from consciousness into wisdom. So this is the final. Yeah? This is the great perfect mirror, wisdom. This one is from the self nature. When the eight consciousness is no longer with delusion, then it becomes that pure consciousness, the self nature. Then the eight consciousness is also called the store consciousness or the alaya consciousness. But it stores up all the good and bad seed you have planted in the past, all the good and bad thing you have done in this and all your past life. If you have planted good causes, you reap good effect. If you have planted bad causes, you reap bad effect. As the potential for all good and bad karma is stored in the eight consciousness, it also comes to be called the field of the eight consciousness. Because whatever you plant in it, eventually it will sprout. So this is the right view with regards to the law of karma. Can you follow? And when you understand it's the law of karma, you are not deluded by the alaya consciousness, the eight consciousness. All of your conscious moment, which is your eight consciousness, which become karmic, you are not deluded by it anymore. You understand it perfectly. They follow this law, which means the five aggregate of form and mind, the nimanakaya, that calm, is subject to law of karma. But the true nature has none of all this. You will understand it perfectly. That's why this is the great perfect mirror wisdom of the Buddha. That's why they can live in the conditioned world and yet not be affected by the conditioned world. They are like the lotus above the lotus pond. They came from the lotus pond, the muddy water, the muddy pond, defiled, diluted. But they rise above. That's why they can transcend. So this is what cultivation is all about when you have developed the understanding. Then we go on. When you are unable to use it, it's merely consciousness. It's just like the fifth page here, Tao Quinning. But when you return to the root and go back to the source, which is your self nature, the eight consciousness is transmuted into the great perfect mirror consciousness, which in its essence is pure and undefiled. That's why Huining come to understand. He said, who will ever know that the self nature is perfect by itself, is pure and undefiled, and nothing is apart from it. All of Dhamma comes from that self nature. That's why he keep on expressing how amazing all this thing is. The self nature is unborn. That's why it never dies. That's why there is no old age, sickness and death and all these things. Then we go on. The wisdom of equal nature is a seven consciousness. So this seven consciousness, like I explained just now, this one is the Sankara part. When it has been transformed from consciousness into wisdom. Before you understand, it is the seven consciousness. But once you enlighten, see, the moment you are enlightened, it is wisdom of equal nature. The seven consciousness is also called the transmitting consciousness. This one you have to listen carefully. Where it acts as a transmitter between the six and the eight consciousness. You can understand? I explained this before already. Okay. Now you look at this six consciousness. What is this six consciousness? This one is from the perception. So this perception, sanya, brings what? Every time I explain to you, brings the? How does the form enter the mind? How does the form enter your mind? This is Buddha Rupa. How did it go to your mind?
You perceive it, understand or not? That's why this one brings the external form into the mind. So this one, Sanya, the sixth consciousness, brings the external form into the mind. Into the mind. So this one becomes the external form in the mind. So this is the one that brings the external form into the mind. So this mind now has form, rupang, which is sense data. You understand? If through seeing consciousness, you perceive it, then this one goes into the mind. Then if it's through hearing consciousness, my voice, this one goes into the mind. Then what happened? Sankara, which is mental activity, activity of mind, this one starts to make contact. This one starts to make contact or think. Or make contact. Because the moment you think, it makes contact. Then what happens? It arises. It arises what? When you think, you make contact, like the physics experiment, what did it arise? Thought consciousness or mind consciousness. That is the eight consciousness. That's why from here, it triggers off the eight consciousness. So this is like an organ. Because the mind is an organ. You understand? That is the reason why in the sutta it's mentioned, but it's not explained. That's why you cannot understand. You turn to page 287. After the third paragraph, the third line. Before you understand, it is the seven consciousness. But when you are enlightened, it is the wisdom of equal nature. Then this seven consciousness is also called the transmitting consciousness. Because it transmits and trigger of the eight consciousness. Because it acts as a transmitter between the six and the eight. So now you understand. It acts as a transmitter between the six and the eight. Six become the sense data. Understand or not? So this one, the sixth conscious external form, become the sense data. So when the sense data come in upon contact, this eight consciousness arise. And the trouble with living being is, before wisdom arise, what does the seven consciousness do? If you are deluded and heedless, what does the seven conscience do? This one will, through your memory, through your brain, what you do? You have all the conditioning, your views and your opinion in there. You will discriminate. You understand? That's why this is also called the discriminatory consciousness. So at this stage, it will discriminate. Where is the blue one? Can't find the blue one. This one is not clear, I think. So this one, at this stage, the seventh consciousness, it can make discrimination. So at this stage, without wisdom, it will do this. So without wisdom, the seven consciousness will discriminate. That's how eight consciousness become defiled, alaya consciousness. Then it cannot transform. You understand? But in the book never explained. And how can you understand all this? But when you meditate, you will see all this. You will understand all this. You will know how it happened, at what stage.
Okay? This one is not easy, I tell you. This one comes from the Surangama Sutta. The first time, a few years back, when they asked me to teach Surangama Sutta, when I read the Surangama Sutta, straight away I understand what they are trying to say. But inside the Surangama Sutta, it's not explained. Like this one. Not explained. It just tells you what it is. But they cannot explain in such clear manner for you to grasp and understand. Ah, yeah, Alicia. Yeah, you can ask.
Hello. Brother Teo, 我想问一下他, 你说 seven consciousness, 他的意思在因地转, 因地就是我们在, 有那个 sankara arise的时候,
分别心的时候,
我们有 wisdom的话, 我们就不会给他转,
一定不会给他转, 因为你不会分别了嘛, you will not discriminate, because you see things as they are. So there is no such thing as duality, right or wrong, and all those things. Well, all these are words, concept, not a reality. So, 你就能够 have the understanding through the direct seeing. Because 分别心 come from where? Come from delusion, ignorance. 无明, 言行, 行运. 行运 through thought create division. Thought use word and concept to create division. That's how sensu got trapped. That's why the Buddha teach, when this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. And in Pali, he mentioned it very clearly. It must mean sati, idang horoti. It must mean asati, idang arhoti. Very clear. When this arises, that arises. Then you create discrimination. When you say this is good, automatically, if it's not like that, the opposite arises there. If you say this is right, if it's not like that, there is another side, wrong. Then how do you overcome this? Duality created by mind, you want to overcome. You cannot overcome. Because this one, you can only root it out through wisdom. That's why Sensei was trapped. You remember Sensei? The Da Si Xiong? How did he got trapped? Well, he believed in perfect cultivation. That's why he wants to train his mind. He thought the mundane mind is his true mind. He said, Sen Ru Pu Ti Su. He was not wrong, you don't know. He said, the body is like a Bohi tree. Yeah? From this phantom-length body, the Buddha got mentioned, along with perception, thought, and mindfulness, he proclaimed the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that leads to us. It means the Four Noble Truths can be realized. The Four Foundations are all there. But where he got wrong was, he said, Sing Zu Ming Jing Tai. That is where he got wrong. That is the mundane mind. That is not the true mind. He said, the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. No, that one is the mundane mind. That's why that mundane mind, caught in duality, will allow him to do that. He said, polish until it shine. Well, he thought this mundane mind is his true mind, so that no dust can alight. Dust is what? Defilement. So he wants to do away defilement. He wants to maintain the true mind, the pure mind. But he doesn't understand what that pure mind is. That's why Hui Ning tear his poem apart. He straight away, the first line he already told him, Bohi is not a tree. Pu Ti Peng Wu Su. What is the meaning? Pu Ti is Bohi. And what is Bohi? Bohi is enlightenment. Enlightenment has nothing to do with that tree. It doesn't mean that the Buddha sat under the Bohi tree and become enlightened. So, Bohi is a tree. No. He named it the Bohi tree, but he sat underneath there and he become enlightened. But the true enlightenment, Bohi, is not a tree. Then he say that Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai, that one that you quote, is not the true mind. The true mind is nothing of this. It's neither the mirror bright nor the stand. That's why his poem was completely tear apart. Then how do you cultivate? Without the mundane mind, you use the true mind to cultivate. And the true mind got nothing. No thought, no perception, no word. So originally, no duality. We have no word. That's why he said, originally there was nothing. 本来啊, 无一物, 何处惹尘埃? If that true mind originally has got nothing, then where can the dust arise? Dust is created by your mundane mind. You don't have a mundane mind to create this dust and create the seven consciousness to discriminate. There is no dust. You understand? That's why he completely tear apart Sensu's poem. And this one can only come from one who have already realized the true mind. That's why Hui Ning's teaching, the Six Patria, Black Form Sutta, is very, very profound, very deep. It takes you direct to the true mind. But very few people understand his teaching. So, Sisi, thank you. I think Alicia understands very good. Sadhu. So, that one is the discriminative one. Because the seven consciousness is your Sankara. And what does Sankara do? It will think, it will discriminate, it will react and stir. Understand? That's what Sankara. Because that is the content of consciousness. Everything is within that content of consciousness. Your planning, your scheming, your deceitfulness, your whatever mental state. Violence, unhappiness, and everything is Sankara. So your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your tradition, your fear, your phobia, all these are Sankara. So Sankara has this problem before wisdom set in, like what the Sutta say. You believe it's real. That's why you are caught. That's why the phenomenal world is like very real to you. That's why the form and mind cannot break free from the phenomenal world. It will get itself entangled and trapped. And this form and mind, with wisdom, is completely liberated and free. So, the four types of wisdom, we go through again. The first one is the five senses. The five senses, like the Buddha teach, in the seeing, you have to realize through the meditation that it's just the seeing consciousness. It's just the consciousness, no one to see. At that stage, the first type of wisdom in the Mahayana teaching, as mentioned there, will be understood. But it's not mentioned in the Sutta, understand? He just said turn. How you turn, never explained. Later on, I don't know, I haven't read Xuan Hua's explanation. Maybe Xuan Hua knows, he will explain it. As far as I know, I have yet to hear from somebody who can explain that. So, when the first five consciousness, sense door consciousness, you can have the ability to be aware, to see clearly that in the seeing is only the consciousness, the seeing consciousness. In the hearing is only the hearing consciousness. No one to see, no one to hear, no one to smell, no one to taste, no one to tactile feel. Then later on, the thought consciousness. No one to think. There is no thinker behind the thought. There is no body behind the arising of thought or sankhara. Where sankhara is respond to memory. It's a natural occurrence, condition arising. Thought is respond to memory. There is no thinker behind the thought. So all this through meditation you will understand. Then after you clear the first five sense consciousness, you go to the sixth consciousness, which is perception. If it's a direct seeing, it's before the arising of the word and the concept. So it's like the baby, sitting as they are. When you can see things as they are, then discrimination does not set in. That's why you turn the sixth consciousness. Then after that, at the moment of decision, the seventh consciousness that create discrimination, if you've got wisdom, you can see beyond form, beyond mind, then you will see the true nature. And true nature got nothing. That's why it don't have concept, it don't have words, it don't have views, opinion, conditioning. That's why this is the part where there is no discrimination. It's pure observing wisdom. That's why they call it the wonderful observing wisdom. It just see things as they are. Pure perception, specific phenomenal awareness, pure awareness. Nothing. It doesn't discriminate, it doesn't stir, it doesn't react. Then the consciousness that arises also become pure. That's why it's non-grasping. Now you understand why the enlightened beings' consciousness are non-grasping? Because they are not deluded. They will understand when they become very near Sammasambuddha stage. They will understand very clearly what this eight consciousness is all about. Because the eight consciousness carry with it all of the storehouse consciousness. It's all your karmic conditioning, your karmic nature, good and bad, everything that you cultivate, like what Xuan Hua mentioned. They are all there. But they pertain to the form and mind. They don't belong to you, understand? Because you are not that thing. That's how the law of karma only applies to the first body, the form and mind. Yeah. And this understanding very difficult to establish, because this one is only towards the end of the cultivation to be a Sammasambuddha or one of the great beings. When you go beyond the eighth stage of Bodhisattva ground cultivation, where you reach the path of non-regression, where you cannot regress anymore, that nature cannot regress anymore. Yeah. So all this is what the teaching is all about. It's not easy because this is the first time you are hearing the deeper explanation. Last time I just mentioned, when I mentioned this 6 and 8, 7, the 7 is the organ, then the 6 is the sense data, then upon contact, because this one Sankara thing, it trigger of the consciousness. That's why it's the transmitting consciousness. But between when it transmit, before it transmit, because of ignorant avijja, it discriminate. It create all the movement, stirring and all those things. That's how avijja creates suffering, attachment, grasping, clinging. Okay? Okay, we go on. We have to finish that part. So this seven consciousness you have, we have gone through. So the seven consciousness is also called the transmitting consciousness, page 287. Because it acts as a transmitter between the 6 and 8 consciousness. They just stop here. They didn't explain to you what I explained on the board. It is called the wisdom of equal nature. Because the mind of all Buddha and living beings are equal. When the latest consciousness has been transmitted into wisdom, the mind without disease means enlightened, don't have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Without these evil roots, the defilement, the seven conscious is transmuted into wisdom of equal nature. That's how it come about. Then the wonderful observing wisdom of the six consciousness, when it has transformed into wisdom, it is the wisdom of subtle observation. Subtle because in the seeing is only the seeing conscious. You have to be very quiet, very silent to understand this. That's why it's the subtle observation. The six consciousness, what we think of as the ordinary mind or the conscious mind, is the consciousness of discrimination. Yeah. It discriminates good and evil, right and wrong, male and female. Yeah, this is the perception stage. Yeah, the perception stage. Yeah. Such discrimination is not actually the work of intelligence. It's not wisdom. Yeah. as it seems to be, but it's merely a kind of what they call consciousness. When you turn it into wisdom, it becomes wonderful observing wisdom, which sees all rhyme without having to go through the process of discrimination. This wonderful observation is quite different from the discriminative thought. So the discriminative thought comes immediately after perception, immediately after the sixth consciousness. So immediately after the sixth consciousness, this is the one that produces discriminative thought. So this one, even at the sixth consciousness level, immediately after the perception. Immediately after the perception, it makes So immediately after the perception, which is the sixth consciousness, it makes discrimination. So that's how, when it discriminates, the mind stirs, sankhara stirs. Okay. Then Xianhua continued, he said, page 288, when certified Arahant wish to use the wonderful observing wisdom to know something, they must first sit in meditation and intentionally observe, for unless they intentionally observe, their mind are no different from those of ordinary people. But intentionally observing, they can know the events of the past 80 aeons. This one is if you become Samasam Buddha, then you have the all-knowing knowledge. All the past, present, and future you can know. That perfecting wisdom comes from the transformation of the five consciousness, eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body into wisdom. So perfecting wisdom is the first five. So that's how you got the 5, 8, 6, 7 effect. So the 5, 8, 6, 7 effect is the same. The effect and cause both turn. So they are all dependent originating to condition arising. So not what you think. Okay, what's the time now? Wow, almost 5 o'clock already. Okay, we stop here. We continue maybe next Sunday. Page 289, last paragraph, the sutta there, we stop there. Okay, you can meditate maybe for 20 minutes. Then after that, we can come back. We can have our Q&A. So I let you meditate 20 minutes. Okay, we can off the light, then can have your meditation.
For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. We still have about 40 minutes for Q&A or reporting of meditation. Okay, we are now opening up for Q&A, question and answer. You just have to raise your hand, then we pass you the mic. Anybody? Yeah, you had pass the mic to Mindy.
Brother Teo. Yes. It's in the Heart Sutta.
Yes.
I'm not sure what's the English. It's written about Se Bu Yi Kong Kong Bu.
Yeah.
I think its form is
emptiness.
Yes.
Emptiness is form.
Yes. Can Brother Teo explain?
That time when we go through the Heart Sutta, you were not with us, You should go through the notes, the Heart Sutta notes. The Heart Sutta notes has everything, because that sutta is based on the Heart Sutta as described by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. He said, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Then in Mandarin is like what you quote, Se ji shi kong, kong ji shi se. And se bu, there's another opposite saying, but it's the same meaning. For form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So the meaning is very, very deep and very profound. It's not easy for normal human mind to understand and to grasp. Because when he said form is emptiness, emptiness is form, people will find it very difficult to accept. Because basically when we talk about form, it's related to physical form, like this table. You say this table is so solid, it's a form. Then how can the Heart Sutta say form is emptiness? Emptiness is form. There are a few ways to understand it, but you need to meditate. The first very simple way is more towards logic. So what you should understand is, originally, before I continue, there's another book, Emptiness, the Klang Talk that I deliver. You go and read that book. It has all the explanation there, and it's very detailed. So what you need to understand is, when it comes to form, physical form, maybe I use the whiteboard. Before you have anything, scientifically speaking, as a human language, when I look at space, space itself to you is empty, isn't it? The space got nothing. Correct? But this is space. Empty. Then what happened is, space, normal mundane mind will perceive it as empty. Normal mind. Perceive as empty. But scientifically speaking, is it really empty? It's not empty, is it? You know there are air. There are very fine particles, maybe not invisible to you. So basically it's not empty. Then scientists also know, even outer space where there is no atmosphere,
is still not empty because they believe there are something inside there. They call it ether, E-T-H-E-R, ether. But these are for knowledge sake, argumental sake. So what you should understand is space itself has got nothing. Then when form comes in, let's say a physical form. So this is, let's say, a piece of brick. So this is form. Piece of brick. So what happened is, this piece of brick, you look at it physically, it's like to you it exists because you perceive it. Then you can feel it, solid. Okay? So this is form. But the sutta say form itself is emptiness. For emptiness itself is form. But before this form come in, it was empty space there. There was nothing there. True or not? Then when this form occupied that space, what happened is that space itself, which was originally empty, has become a form. Do you understand? So this is the first explanation. But this one is used logic. Logic. So he said form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So before the form comes in, it was empty. But when the form comes in, did the emptiness disappear? The space was still there. That's why form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. That is the first way to understand it. Then you go into the meditative way. All this external form can be very solid. To you, it's like real. But you have to understand as a human being, as a form and mind, how do we define real and unreal? How do you define real and unreal? It's only real to you when you can perceive it, isn't it? Either perceive it through your seeing consciousness, or through your feeling, tactile consciousness, or hearing consciousness. Whatever that is beyond your senses, you cannot perceive. You say unreal. So real and unreal is according to your ability to perceive. So it's a relative truth. It's not a ultimate truth. So take for example, the traffic sound. You hear this lorry or whatever traffic. As it come near within the field of consciousness, when you can hear it, then through hearing consciousness, you say, it arise already, exists, real. Then after the vehicle pass, you cannot hear anymore. You say the sound no longer exists. But it's relative. To you, the sound no longer exists. But further down, to another person who hear it, perceive it, exists again. So what is exist? And what is non-existent? What is real and what is unreal? Because we are limited by our senses, the five aggregate. Whatever that is beyond our sense perception, we cannot perceive. We say don't exist, not real. So like certain high frequency pitch, like a dog, they hear the high frequency pitch, which is beyond our normal hearing. It's like sometimes earthquake, tsunami, or what, they can perceive it. They can feel it, the high pitch and all those things. But because our limited senses, our senses cannot perceive. But it doesn't mean it don't exist. Even the bats, high frequency vibration, they can perceive. So understanding this will allow us to understand the deeper aspect of the Heart Sutta. When Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say, form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. For form never differ from emptiness, and emptiness never differ from form. So if you look at this table, if you perceive it, then you say exist. Okay? Arise already. Form exists. When you close your eye, what happens? Huh? You don't perceive it anymore. Yeah? So, does it still exist? Of course, you can use memory. Yeah, just now I saw it. Exist. Yeah. But then, if you are so rigid about this thing, then to you, you are looking at it from the mundane aspect. Mundane aspect means you cannot see its condition behind its arising. Like the Buddha said, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. Then whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Because without causes and conditions, nothing arises. This is meditation. This is what you need to understand. The Buddha said, if you can perceive things with wisdom, then you will understand why in the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva realized that the five aggregates of form and mind, they are all empty. Empty means even the aggregate of form is empty. And empty, the meaning is very deep. Empty doesn't mean nothing, don't exist. Things can exist, but it's empty. And you must understand this word, empty nature of existence. Empty nature of existence. Do you understand this phrase? Huh? Do you understand this sentence? Use the mic, use the mic. Pass the mic, Miss Lee.
Does it mean it arises when there is a cause and condition?
No, no. Just the sentence, empty nature of existence. Is existence real to you?
No, not really.
In what sense is not real? Well, to most human beings, it's real, isn't it? I cannot deny I was born. I cannot deny I went through life. I exist before. I cannot deny that these things within existence are real. Then why do you say empty nature? These are not empty, understand now? All these things exist. Even though it's only within the moment. Split second is dead and gone. But moment to moment, conditions that are arising will maintain the existence and movement of things. That's why there is such thing as life and existence. But the main word is empty nature. This word is empty nature of existence. Means existence to you may have a lot of things, but ultimately it's empty. It means not what you think. And that understanding is very profound. Not until you understand that, you cannot understand the Heart Sutta's expression of that sentence. Se ji si kong, kong ji si se. Se bu yi kong, kong bu yi se. So form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. And this is very difficult to comprehend without the understanding of empty nature. So the reason why I have to explain this is because empty the word doesn't mean nothing or don't have anything. Empty nature is like explaining to you that there is no reality behind. Whatever that happened, finally, it doesn't really matter. Because it's empty. It's just like I give you this example, you will know, because you know Mandarin. As a living being, we are born into this world. We came empty. That's why there is a famous saying, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Na mo si zu, he bi ku ku, in between, grief over emptiness. Wei kong, liu lei. Do you understand? When you are born into this world, your children also same. They came empty-handed. Understand? They don't bring along anything. When your consciousness separate, when you die, again, you cannot take along anything. So when you are born, you come with nothing. When you are dead, you just go with nothing. And whether you exist or you don't exist, doesn't matter anymore. Do you understand? Then why do you grieve over emptiness in between while you live life? You go through so much suffering, struggle, and all those things. So ultimately, there is no reality. Whether you exist or you don't exist, it's just a conditioned world, phenomenal world, world of consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. That's why everything is created by the mind. So if mind does not arise, there is no one to perceive all these things. There is no one to know you exist. So our existence is not real. It all depends on mind. If there is mind to perceive it, then it exists. Because this table doesn't know its name. This table doesn't know it exists. Understand? This table only come into existence because human mind or living beings' mind perceive it. And it has its condition of arising, like your form and mind. You need the condition, karmic, law of karma. You need to have the what they call rebirth consciousness. Then you need the law of karma to condition the form and mind. Then you need the life force, what they call the karmic force, to sustain the heartbeat so that this form of mind continue to exist. So these are the conditions behind its arising. Like this table, it also has its condition for its arising. How does this table arise? Now we go into it. How does this table arise?
The trees and want to make a table, then it arise.
Okay, Alicia say Miss Lee bought it. Is it true? Did you buy it or somebody offer? Somebody offer. See, it can be any condition. It can be what Alicia say. Miss Lee got money, go and buy. Then it arise. But before that person have that product to sell, it must have its condition, like you say. You go and get the timber from the tree, understand? It's not you go and get the timber from the tree. The raw material that you need to make this table, must be there. Then the other condition is there must be a manufacturer or a skillful carpenter who can make this part and the worker to assemble it, then varnish it, finish it, then put it on the market for sales. Then somebody bought an offer, then it arises. So these are the conditions behind its arising. As far as this condition remain, it exists. Okay? Exists. But when condition cease to be, this table will disappear. How can condition cease to be?
Maybe when it's broken, Miss Lee throw it away.
Means when the part is no longer serving its function, you call it broken, then it's gone. Maybe somebody steal it, also it's gone. Sana. Then maybe fire burn, also it's gone. So these are the conditions behind its arising. So externally, it's not real, because these so-called table or form arise because of condition. When condition is there, things exist, like my voice. As long as I speak in the microphone through the player, and your hearing consciousness arise, then you say my voice exists. Understand? The moment I stop speaking, what happened? You never say the voice die, you know. No more hearing consciousness, then you say don't exist. That's why when the human being consciousness separate, condition no more, you say human being die. You never say exist. If you say exist, means you understand. It's dependent originating. When condition cease to be, that thing will cease to be. Your identity erased. Your breath stop, mainly disappear. Because the condition, the support, the existence of Mindy is no more there. So likewise, this table is the same. Dependent originating, condition arising. So externally, already not what you think. It's condition arising. That's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It can come, it can go. That is what existence is all about. Then how do you know it's a table? How do you know it's a table?
Truth perceiving.
True perception. So what is perception? Perception is a mental image created by the brain. Understand now? Through your seeing consciousness, through physics, you know it's an inverted image, but your brain can make it upright. So you perceive it through an image. We call it perception, mental image. How real can this mental image be? It's just an image, understand? A conscious image in the brain, in the mind. Externally already not real. Condition arising, dependent originating. And the way you perceive it is through an image up here in the brain. It's even more unreal, understand? Then why do you grasp onto it, cling onto it, and give meaning to it? That's why if you look at it from this understanding, then you realize all of perception is just consciousness. It's just an image from the mind. How real can that be? Split second is gone. Split second is gone. That's why the seeing consciousness come and go, come and go, come and go. Externally already condition arising, not what you think, dependent originating, not a permanent. Then the way you perceive it is just through an image, even more unreal. Then why do we do deludedly grasp, cling, and hold? So ultimately, what the mind perceives or labor is not real. You understand? That's why form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. Ultimately, it's empty. Despite the aeons and aeons of existence of this universe, is it real? Is it real? Of course, a lot of people say, yeah, real, brother, you cannot deny we exist. Like, since birth until now, you cannot deny you exist. But I ask you a question, at this moment, is it real? If you don't recall through memory, it's already dead and gone, understand not? As real it can be, it's only within the moment. Split second is dead and gone. You can only recall through memory. That's why there is a famous Mandarin song, 往事只能回味. Then, 时光一去永不回. 时光一去永不回. That's why that song has a lot of meaning. Time, wait, time and tide, wait for no man. The moment it arrives,
it will vanish. Whatever that is of the nature to arise and pass away is never real. That's why you will see the empty nature of everything. Everything is not what you think. As real it can be, it's only within the moment. So we look at life, we look at existence. What is life? To live life is to go through existence. True or not? Because without existence, there is no life there. There must be a chemically conditioned form and mind to live. And to live, you have to go through existence. And existence, you can define very easily. We have to exist, we have to go through time. Existence is time-related, isn't it? So there are three periods of time. Past, present, and future. This will define the whole spectrum of time, all of time included. From here, we analyze. We develop the understanding. Then it becomes very easy. Of the three, past, present, and future, which is the reality? Which is the reality? Past is already gone. Definitely not a reality, isn't it? Because it's something gone. Future haven't happened yet. So it's not a reality. So the only reality is the here and the now, present moment. That's why human being now realize present moment awareness is very important. That's why you got Eckhart Tolle who wrote the book on power of now. Then you got these people teaching mindfulness from moment to moment. Be aware of the moment to truly live life. So all this come about because they finally come to understand the only reality in life or existence is the present moment. Because we already come to the conclusion, it's very easy to understand. Past already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. Then how stable is the present moment? The moment you talk about it is dead and gone. That's why without mindfulness, without awareness, you cannot be aware of the present moment. It moves so fast. Your thought process arises so fast. Thought is time, psychological time, mental time. When you are without thought, you are in the timeless. That is what the Dhamma is all about, akaliko, timeless. That's why when you are aware without thought, you don't have mental time. And that is the Dhamma, that is the akaliko, and that is the true mind. That is meditation, the meditative mind. So, understanding this, you will have to ask yourself, if the present moment, which is so fleeting, split second is dead and gone, then how real can existence be? You understand? That's why everything is just empty, not what you think. Within the moment, it will come to pass. Within the moment, it will come to pass. If you see this clearly, understand this clearly, you will not be deluded by the phenomenal world, the existential world. Then you will develop the understanding of the Dhamma, because within life, there are certain reality, nature's law, that governs life and existence, like the law of karma, law of mind, law of Dhamma, the scientific law, physical law, and biological law. All this exists. But in ultimate truth, all this don't exist. It's not real. It's empty. So the question now is, if this is the truth, the reality, what must I do as a form of mind, chemically conditioned out for my nature to come to this world? Then I have to ask myself, moment to moment, life passes by. What am I doing? This is the most important question. So you ask yourself, what are you doing? What are human beings doing? Human beings' problem is, moment to moment, they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Clinging and grasping onto the phenomenal world through delusion. That's why they never leave. So much so, they never really live life because they are hardly aware of the moment. If you cannot be aware of the moment, you cannot be aware of existence and life. You cannot live. That's why there is a difference between to be conscious of living and to live life. Most human beings are conscious of life. They are never aware within to live life because they think a lot. You cannot deny that every moment you are awake, you are conscious. But are you aware within? Can you be with the moment in silent awareness to experience all of the great beauties and wonders of life? Just be with the moment without thought. Without thought means what? Without thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, nothing. And that will translate into stillness, peacefulness, awareness. Then you can experience the moment deeply. Then everything that you perceive becomes pure perception. Very beautiful. That's why drinking a cup of Chinese tea mindfully with awareness is zazen or zen. That is fully aware of the moment without any mental distraction, heedless thinking, the condition, grasping, clinging, reaction of mind. The mind is peaceful, quiet, tranquil, still, with clarity, just aware. And that is the form am I truly experiencing the moment. And that is through meditation, through awareness. Even though it's empty, life and existence is not what you think, but there is such thing as life. That's why in the Heart Sutta is mentioned, if you understand true emptiness, life becomes wonderful. Zhen kong miao yu. That is the meaning. And that is also the advice that the fifth patriarch gave to Hui Ning. If you know how to use this form and mind, the mundane mind, and yet not be deceived by it, then wonderful existence will arise. That means you have wisdom. You know how to use this form and mind, and yet the form and mind will not suffer because of that understanding. Because the ultimate truth and the conditioned world, nature's law that governs life and existence, both sides you understand. That's why you will know how to use it, and you will know it don't belong to you. That's why this fine aggregate of form and mind is not you. Like the Buddha said, Rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Vedana sanya sankara vijnanam, also anicang and anatta. That's how you develop the wisdom. And you see it very clearly. It's not you, but for you to come through karmic conditioning to exist and to use, to live life. So this body is the same. If I understand it's not me, for me to come to this world, existential world, to live, to exist, to do whatever it can help this nature to do, it will use it without having to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. You understand? That is the wisdom behind the understanding that is connected to this form and mind. Then you can say this form and mind is enlightened. But this form and mind is not me, because this is condition arising, dependent originating, impermanent, lead to suffering, empty nature. If you don't have this type of wisdom through meditative awakening, you will be deluded. You will grasp, you will cling. Then this form and mind will suffer. Then the law of karma will operate. This is the deeper meaning of form is emptiness, emptiness is form. But as you meditate, as you silent deeper and deeper, you will understand it very clearly. Because the true understanding is actually anatta leading to sunyata. Sunyata is emptiness. Anatta is just means whatever within the conditioned world is not a permanent unchanging entity where you can grasp onto, hold onto and say this is me, this is I. That's why we say this is not me, that's why it's non-self. But this word non-self is not no self, no. Do you understand? There are two extremes, self and no self. Both are wrong, the Buddha said. The actual meaning is non-self. means it's not completely nothing. Understand? No self. Even though it's not you, but it's related to you karmically within the nature's law existence. So non-self means it's not you, but you cannot neglect it. Understand not? That's why this form and mind still subject to karma. That's why you have a duty to make sure that this form and mind is not deluded. It will have to do its karmic duty. That's why you have to plant the seed of wholesomeness to reap the fruit of wholesomeness. 种因结果, 种善因结善果, means you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. And this is what the law of karma is all about. And this form of mind is subject to it. Every segmented life, the Nimanakaya, functional body that come, is subject to that. So you cannot say, oh, I enlightened already, everything is empty, I don't care, I do what I like. Not so real, I ain't gonna kill anybody. If you do that, you are doubly deluded. Because you cannot understand the both condition and the unconditioned world's ultimate truth. When you do not have the understanding of both sides, you cannot live, you cannot transcend the conditioned world, you cannot go above the lotus pond. That is what the teaching is all about. That's why it's very beautiful. You can say it's very abstract, very esoteric, but when you understand, it's just nothing. It's just the way things are. Very easy to understand, very easy to comprehend. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's a very good question. I rejoice. What's the time now? Oh, 5 more minutes. Any more questions? By now you all should understand the teaching and the meditation very differently. So all these are very important. You must go back and go through it. The emptiness one is in the book. The book, I gave a talk in Klang. Just now what I explained to you is only a small portion of what I explained there. Because that day the condition was there, and I explained in quite detail. Then the Heart Sutta also, I have gone through all this. Anybody else got any question? Or report meditation? Don't have. Okay, we better end. Then after that, maybe you can go back earlier. So you can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us do the sharing of merits and transfer of merits. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 3 hours or so. Then we will share all these merits we all being starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkantu loka sasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to
Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin, Bodhisattva, and all the worthy one. Then we end.
Thank you.